So hello and welcome to Nucleus Instant Insights, where we put together a short 10-minute recap of our larger weekly podcast or webinar. And today we've looked at one called Franking Credits and You. So we're having a little bit of a review of the proposed Labor changes to the franking credit system. And if you don't know what that means, then stay tuned. I welcome our Head of Investments, Damien Klassen. G'day, Damien.
Hi, Tim.
As we run through, just as I mentioned, just quickly the key components of our recently shot webinar. And if you'd like to know more, of course, feel free to head over to that. And it takes about 50-odd minutes, I think, we're recording for, and you'll get much more information. So we looked at some background. We looked at if Labor win and these new franking credit policies are implemented. And it is important to note that these changes haven't been locked in legislation just yet. And so we looked at some structuring for investments, international and Australian company valuation changes, some changes to company incentives and a thing called payout ratios. And then, of course, our investment outlook on how we manage money every day at Nucleus Wealth. So just a quick one. So what franking credits are? So essentially, a way that or a method in which the company earnings have tax deducted before they land in your remit, and then depending on your tax position, you can then look to claim some and all perhaps of those tax credits back. Damien.
Yep, I think that's probably a pretty good summary. And I think the key thing with the franking credits is that it's there's been a number of changes over the last few years. And so we've seen sort of from the 1990s that they were introduced and they could be offset tax, but they weren't cash. You couldn't get it back for cash.
As a check, yep.
Yep.
That's right, yeah. And look, 2000-2001 saw some changes in the law, which meant that any excess franking credits could actually be then taken as a cash refund from the government. And now, of course, we're looking at the potential Labor government changes, which are going to remove the ability to get that check back from the ATO.
Yeah, and so the idea was that it was there so that you wouldn't get taxed twice.
Yep.
That was the original reason for bringing it in. Then with the mixture of removing tax from people in pension accounts and their super.
Yep.
And this means that there's people who now get taxed zero times.
Mm.
And some of them have quite large balances. So yep. If you're talking millions of dollars, they can be getting back they can be making returns. I think we're talking about the top 1% was sort of getting $83,000 or something like that back.
Yep.
Average
tax check.
As an average tax yep. check, which basically means they're probably making $250,000 plus in dividends.
Yep.
And then also managing to turn around and not paying any tax at all on that. Mm-hmm. And then also managing to turn around and say, I'd also like to get another $80,000 back from that company the tax that this company paid.
Yep.
I'd like that back as well. So there's certainly a reason to close up the loophole. The problem is the tax change is also capturing some of the people who are sort of just outside the pension and, yep. and are just managing to not be on the pension because of their dividend checks and the associated franking credits, and they might then have to move back into pension mode, which there's some validity.
Yep.
But our big concern is that there's a lot of people who are not a lot of people. There is a small amount of people who are saving a lot of money from this taking credit.
Yep.
And we strongly suspect that they're the people who are driving the whole push to get the backlash going.
Mm.
And they need to find these cases of people who are just outside, and they can say, "Look at this poor school teacher, or, you know, poor fireman, or poor nurse, or whatever." And
something that resonates with the common man,
exactly, because the person with his $1 million. Dividend check, who's also getting a couple hundred thousand dollars back as a franking credit. So
doesn't make compelling news, does it?
No, he can't stand up himself and complain about the whole process.
Absolutely. And so just on that note, for people that are affected, it's been estimated about 1.2 million taxpayers, or 8% of the total, would be affected, and about 200 of the 600, so about a third of SMSFs are going to have some sort of impact as well. It's also important to note that there is some exemptions, so exemptions to charities and other not-for-profit organisations such as universities, and also for people that are on the age pension, which obviously has its own preset income and assets test as well, which if you're under that, then you're able to get the age pension and these rules won't apply. So quite an interesting piece of information that came grout just recently from the Grattan Institute was that they divided up the average wealth of Australians into 10 deciles, and they found that on average, 40% or a touch more were sitting in what they call the lowest taxable income bracket of 18,000. So an interesting component of that is when someone says, I'm on a taxable income of 18,000 or less, that doesn't necessarily mean that they haven't got a lot of assets. It just means that they've been quite clever in how they, what they mark as what they own as their own taxable income.
Yes. Either means they genuinely are earning a low salary and they haven't got very much money, but it's just as likely to mean that they actually have plenty of money and they're just very good at structuring their assets too.
Absolutely. And in particular, obviously, income from superannuation pensions is not counted as a taxable income. So you can hide behind that. We touched on just quickly personal super. And so, look, given the rules that are, projected to be going in place, it was really just a matter of looking at, when we say personal super, we mean money that sits in a regular super fund as opposed to a self-managed super fund. Having a look at a couple of things. So number one is whether or not these changes are going to impact you. So if you're sitting in what's called accumulation, so not in the retirement part of super, through income from the investments that that was being generated from the investments that you have, and also tax that you pay on the contributions that go in, typically through your employer, through superannuation guarantee, you may find that they actually soak up a lot of these imputation credits or franking credits, and so you don't actually give any away. The other side being, of course, if you're in the pension side, that there's, obviously this is where it may be of greater impact to you. So then it's worth looking at whether or not your master trust that you're involved in has sufficient accumulation members that will soak up that tax credit for you, which will hopefully lift the overall investment performance or at least maintain the investment performance against the changes and people are not in that category. From a superannuation point of view, we cover this in much more detail. You've got, once again, if you're worried about franking credits and losing those franking credits, which, obviously people do enjoy when they're in the pension side, you can look at things like, adding additional members to your self-managed super fund, which will create a tax liability through the accumulation side and having to pay tax on that side. And that's just something that, it stands out as, an important piece of, consideration and piece of planning that you could look at as well. We'll jump across into the investment piece. So, Damien, in valuations.
Yep. So I guess the lesson from the structuring part is that self-managed super funds will be slightly less attractive than what they were before, or less attractive depending on the structures and some of the rules though are still not set. So we're not quite sure exactly how you're going to see changes in other funds. On the valuation side, there's two parts to this. One part is how will international shares versus Australian shares sit? And I guess the key things I go into more detail in the full one, but I think the key things to note are that if you're on the highest tax rate or even just paying a decent amount, a relatively high tax rate, there's actually very little difference between Australian shares and international shares that are getting a similar return, and that you should invest for returns. Tax should be one of your quite low on your list. If you're on a 0% tax rate, it is more attractive, it is more attractive at the moment. But if you, under the new scenario, it basically moved to be even. Mm-hmm. So that there's sort of the international certainly becomes more attractive for investors rather than Australian shares. On the valuation of companies, it's worth noting that when companies get valued, there's some element of value in companies, including the value of the franking credits. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole bunch of different studies out, which are all quite inconclusive, to be honest, but they sort of show somewhere between 0 and 50% of franking credits is valued by investors. We think that's going to come back if this gets put through, and it's probably going to make a little bit of a difference, maybe 1%, 2% for the average Australian, the average Australian stock relative to an international stock.
Mm, okay, sure. We sort of had a quick look through these things called payout ratios as well. So
The key thing to note on this is, so the question on the other side then is, will companies change the way they act? And yep. So should you change your investment methodology based on that? Now, the key thing for Australia is Australian companies pay out a much higher payout ratio than overseas. But when you adjust for what's called a buyback, they actually come out to be very similar levels as overseas. So what that means is companies, rather than giving cash to shareholders, they actually go out and buy shares, which drives the share price up.
Yep.
And so the cash is still going to shareholders, and it's still the net effect is still that money going out of the company to shareholders. So there's not a lot of difference in terms of if you did see payout ratios fall from our perspective. But there's a lot, there's quite a lot of detail, and we go into things that happened in something similar happened in Europe in the early 2000s, where they got rid of franking credits. So that was a more extreme example. Mm-hmm. We think this is quite a minor sort of pullback in terms of what's happening. There are some other sort of added benefits. Companies avoid tax less with franking credits. We think there's some discipline issues for how companies make acquisitions, and we think there's some slight corporate benefit, debt market benefits that this introduction will also have.
Mm-hmm.
The key thing for an investment outlook, though, is to remember that keep an eye on who's giving you the advice, who's telling you whether this is any good.
Mm-hmm.
We think we're sort of, we win in some ways and we lose in other ways on this one from me. Nucleus Wealth personally. So,
yep.
So me giving you advice is saying, well, we think we're relatively balanced on this because we're not really losing or winning on either side.
Sure.
But there's plenty of people in this losers list, Australian fund managers, Australian-only fund managers, self-managed super fund providers, accountants, stockbrokers, retirees, who all lose out from this. And so they're all very vehement
vocal.
And vocal in there, yes. And some of the winners on the other side are who the people who are pushing it also have their own sort of barrows to push. So to sort of keep an eye on who's giving you the note.
Okay, sure.
But the three or four key things to remember, consider your investment structure. We've got a few changes that we think you should make, or you could think you certainly consider in the full one. International stocks are going to be marginally more attractive for pensioners in pension mode.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think these changes are large enough to change capital allocation for companies, but there's certainly the way we're structuring it, our income portfolios, is a consideration we'll be making we'll be considering this change as we're putting together portfolios and at the margin less likely to buy companies that are with franking credits.
Okay, sure thing. Well, thanks for that, Damien, and terrific little recap there of our larger show. Feel free to head over to it and hear all of this in much greater detail. Well, that's it for now, and thanks for watching. If you like what you heard today and you'd like to hear more, head over to nucleuswealth.com/subscribe, give us your email address, and in return, we'll send you a weekly email with new webinar topics, links for our podcasts, and other news from Nucleus Wealth. I certainly hope you've got something out of today, as I have, and we'll look forward to catching you at the next one. Cheers.